As we come this morning to our message, as we read this lengthy portion of chapter 4 in the book of Acts, after Peter and John's arrested, this was a prayer for boldness. And as we know that there was a man who was filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, in our present day time, you can pretty well say that the world has been evangelized over and over again. For as we know that there are many missionaries now in the uttermost parts of the earth, as God's word does go forward. The spreading of the gospel in every age has its ups and downs due to the apostasy of the world. But how did we get to where we are today with the Church of Jesus Christ? Well, there's many churches today, but believe it or not, it actually started with one church, the New Testament Church in Antioch, which was the first church that was formed and that they were called Christians, that they were called Christians in that new church in Antioch. We often only remember the big names of the Bible, as we often are fed the word with big names in the word, such as the Apostle Paul, such as Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Noah, Moses, Abraham, Elijah, and Elisha. Well, these are just some of the big names of Scripture that have done many great things for God, and their credit notably due, for the Lord has used them mightily. But we often overlook in the Scriptures the hidden gems. As you can say, those that were working behind the scenes. As we know in the Bible that not much is made mention of certain characters, but yet it is good to reflect on what they have done for the Lord and not to just read over them, but to see their impact and how the Lord used them. So let us go back, therefore, in time and put ourselves in the era of the first building of the church, the first church in Antioch. And I am talking about a man who the Lord used to help establish, the very first church here in Antioch, and had great influence in the first New Testament church in Jerusalem. Well, we know that this man was a good man in the eyes of the Lord, for he was a man that was willing to take second place. And they say, well, today there's not many people willing to take second place, but this was a very humble man. And we know in order that he was very humble because he wanted to see the advancement of the Church of Jesus Christ. He didn't care who was involved, but he just wanted to see the advancement. And therefore, we know that this notable figure who had a big influence upon the first early church, well, was other named as here as Barnabas, as we come to our text in Acts chapter 4, verse 36, as it reads, "And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which was being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus." And I have three major points this morning that I want to draw to your attention. And the first is his character, the character of Barnabas. And what can we learn through the teaching of the Holy Ghost about his character? Well, we can see here in Acts chapter 11, verse 24, and I'll just read it to you here in Acts 11, verse 24, as it reads, "For he was a good man." Here is talking about Barnabas. "For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost." And friend, well, that's what the Scriptures meant to be. The Hollywood has their own interpretation of what a good man is to be. The world has its own interpretation of what a good man is to be. But here, friend, in God's word, it says, "For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord." And friend, in the building of a church, how crucial is it to have people in the church that are full of the Holy Ghost. And friends, Barnabas was one of the leaders in the early church of Jerusalem and church, and was later a missionary to the Gentiles. And I want you to remember that here is a man which is full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And you can kind of see what type of character this man was. He was a Levite and a Cyprian Jew. So he was ultimately a Jewish person. His original birth name was Joseph, but later on the apostles changed his name to Barnabas, as we see in our text, as I just read it to you, which means the son of consolation. Barnabas had tremendous zeal for the Lord's work and to put the kingdom first. And I tell you, friends, if you want to see a false prophet in a church, you'll see that he does not put the kingdom of God first. He will not put the souls of men and women first, but he will put his own needs, as we see in many of these false churches, that there is no zeal. There is no zeal to see sinners saved. And friend, it's something that we must understand, that here as we go in the first building of the church, there's many things we can draw from this man as he was appointed for this church to take off. And here as we see that we see a great example of this, as we know that Barnabas had tremendous zeal for the Lord's work and to put the kingdom first. And well, we see a great example of this in Acts chapter 4, verse 37. As he was determined, as his call was to go and serve the Lord, as we see in verse 37, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. He possessed great spiritual qualities and was able to discern the apostle Paul's genuine conversion. Here was a man that stood with Paul, that when many rejected Paul, as again we see what type of character Barnabas was, as we see here the great qualities that he had, as he stood with Paul and really believed in his genuine conversion in Acts chapter 9, verse 27. In Acts 9, verse 27, I'll just read it to you. But Barnabas took him, as he's talking about the apostle Paul, and Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and Paul was denied by the apostles because of his persecution. And we know that Paul, before his conversion, was binding up the Christians and had great zeal in the persecution of God's people. We often know of that verse when the Lord came and confronted him and said, "Paul, Paul, why persecutest thou me?" Well, we know here that as the character of Barnabas was, as he really saw the genuine conversion of Paul and tended to give him a second chance, if you will, as the others rejected him. But here was Barnabas to take him aside and to give him another chance. For it says here, but Barnabas, because of his past persecuting of the Christian people, but Barnabas took him. But Barnabas took him and showed the others how he preached boldly. And showed the others how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Barnabas showed his tremendous courage and discernment when standing up for Paul, and truly knew that the Lord was working through this man, Paul. Barnabas here was a big notable figure and nothing to be overlooked, but had even influence in the apostle Paul's life in giving him a second chance, if you will. And here we know that he was also a man of unselfishness. This man Barnabas was not selfish, but he was unselfish. And in Acts chapter 11, verse 25, as it reads, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul, for there was a great potential harvest to be reaped. And here we see that Barnabas was very unselfish, as he seen many new people coming to the Lord, as he didn't take all the credit himself, but rather he went to get help, to delegate the works there as the first church was taking off. And we know that him, as very unselfish as he was, went to get Paul for help, to help him with the assistance there in the church. And well, why did he seek for Paul? Because he was the apostle to the Gentiles. You see, Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. And you see, Paul had certain gifts that Barnabas did not have. And I believe in the teaching of the scripture here this morning that the Lord gives gifts to the people of God. And friend, we all don't have the same gift, as we know that in a church that, well, as Spurgeon said, we all can't be preachers, otherwise there'll be nobody in the pew to hear. And well, I believe that, because then it would be a very funny church if the Lord doesn't give a people to hear. But we know that we all have different gifts when coming to the eyes of the Lord. The Lord has blessed with many different gifts. Well, many have the gift of evangelism. Many have the gift of mission work. They're able to go to different countries and to minister to different cultures and ethnic people. Many have the gift of preaching, and many have the gift of teaching. And you see, all these different gifts are all used for one thing. It's for the advancement of the church, for the advancement of the church of Jesus Christ, so that it can go forward. And Barnabas, he understood that Paul had certain qualities and gifts that he didn't have. And he must have seen something there that Paul was able to reach these certain people better than him. So being the unselfish man that he is, went to seek Paul to help. And here we know that Barnabas, you see, Paul had certain gifts that Barnabas did not have. But despite the difference, it did not hinder Barnabas again. Well, he was willing to take second place. And how many can say that in our present time, as the world's point of view is, if you're not first, well, you're last. Well, you see, that's not the teaching here. As you see here, well, he was willing to take a second place. Well, what a lesson to learn about church building, that there are so many that want to be praised. There are so many people that want to be praised for what they did in the church and for what they did to the building. But friend, here is the reality. Here this morning, well, he was willing to take a second place, and just to see the advancement of the church. And that's the attitude that we must have, is just to be happy that the church is growing, and not to be proud or to say, look at me and look what I did, but to really just be on fire for God, that the church is growing and that their souls are getting saved. And here, as we know, there are so many empire builders out there. But here is a man here, Barnabas, that was truly behind the scenes, not caring about self-praise, but coming into the Lord's work humble and not as a selfish empire builder. And here it leads us, secondly, to our second point, which is his work. Notice Barnabas and his work as we come to Acts 11, verse 22. And I'll just read it to you here in Acts 11, verse 22, as it reads here. It says here, "Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as to Antioch." And here is his call. And friends, what a thing it is to be called into the ministry, as we know that Barnabas was a preacher and a leader in the Lord's work. And there's many things we can learn from Barnabas, as we see in Acts chapter 15, verse 35, as he was not jealous when coming to the Lord's work, as we see again in Acts chapter 15, verse 35, and I'll read it to you here. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. You see, friends, they work together. It's something very simple, but it's something very true in our lives. Even in the workplace, you might not like somebody, but you certainly have to work with them. And sometimes it could be very hard, but there's something we can learn from scripture here, is that Paul and Barnabas continued together to build the church with many others also. And Barnabas was a preacher in his work and a leader in the Lord's work, as we see in Acts chapter 15, verse 35. Barnabas was not a jealous when coming to the Lord's work. He did not get caught up with pride and empire building, which is seen in our day with these mega churches and mega buildings. But when he was sent by the Jerusalem church to Antioch, upon his arrival, it shows his response to the growing work. And here we can learn about his response to the growing work in the church in Acts 11, verse 23 to 24. And I'll just read it to you here in Acts chapter 11, verse 23, as it reads here, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, well, this was the man who was touched in his heart, for he seen that God was working, was glad. Well, that was his response. Well, he was very glad when he saw that the Lord was working. And it goes on to say, and exhorted them all that with the purpose of heart, they would cleave unto the Lord. Oh, friends, that was his message. That was his message, that they would cleave unto the Lord. It shows when he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. And friend, that's the message for you here this morning, is to remain steadfast with purpose, that the Lord is indeed building his church. And that's the message here, and that we know that he exhorted them all to remain faithful. And that's what God wants you to do. He wants you to remain faithful through the ups and downs of the church of Christ. He wants you to remain faithful to the work and trusting ultimately that the Lord will continue to build his church. And Barnabas, as he was glad with purpose, he wasn't jealous that he didn't get all the praise in leading many to the Lord, but he was glad in his heart to see people getting saved despite who was leading them to the Lord. Well, he was happy to see people getting saved. And Barnabas officially, as we read here, started his ministry when being led by the Spirit and receiving the call. And friend, the call is a great important thing today, as we know that many seminary teaching teaches that there is no such thing as a call, and the world will tell you there's no such thing as a call, but I tell you there is. And what a great thing it is when the Lord works upon a heart of a man and uses him for the ministry of God. And here, let us read in Acts chapter 13, verse 2. If you can turn to Acts chapter 13, verse 2, as this is truly the start. And you say, well, how did the Lord use this man? Well, this is where it all started here. As 13, verse 2, as it said here, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. You see, friend, it truly is a call of God. And when you see churches today, well, it's the same thing. That's why you must always pray. Pray that the Lord will call a man. Pray that the Lord will call a man, not of men, but of the Holy Spirit, because this is where it all started, as they gave themselves to prayer, trusting that the Spirit would continue to work. And lo and behold, that this man, Barnabas, was called to go in to the ministry. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Barnabas did the work of an evangelist. Here we know his pioneering work had tremendous effect. This was a man that had an effect, that wherever God put him, that there was a tremendous effect. There was always a response. There was always commotion after he would be done preaching, because, well, they know that he was full, that he was full of the Holy Spirit. And his work was also here, as we know, that he could go into a place where there was no regard for God, where there was no interest for God, but yet he would have a full influence upon them. And that was the working of God, as we know here. And Barnabas and his work was also in a very dangerous context with unbelieving Jews and those who wanted to kill them, as well as we see Paul being stoned in Acts chapter 14, verse 21 to verse 23. But friend, despite the dangers, he went on to serve the Lord. Despite the persecutions, he went on to serve the Lord and working hard to bring the unsaved to Christ. You see, his work was successful because of the Spirit of the Lord, which was leading him. And he was full of the Holy Ghost. I want to draw to your attention the great connection between being filled with the Spirit and people being added unto the church. Notice in Acts 11, verse 24, notice the connection here as it reads here in Acts 11, verse 24. But the word of God grew and multiplied. As we see here, that it is growing. In Acts chapter 11, verse 24, as we see the connection, but the word of God grew and multiplied. And lastly, here for our final point, I want you to see Barnabas and his message. Well, what was Barnabas's message? What was the message of the whole early church? Well, they preached something, didn't they? They must have had something to be preached. Well, I tell you, it's very simple. It is very simple here this morning. It was a very simple message in what he preached. Barnabas and his message was very clear. And I believe if Barnabas was still alive today and he were able to talk to you, well, I tell you, I believe he wouldn't want you to know about his upbringing or things about himself. But I can guarantee it with all my heart, he would want you to know his message. That's what Barnabas would want you to know. And Barnabas and his message was very clear, as stated in Acts chapter 11, verse 23. Notice what it says here. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. And that's what happens, you see, when you don't preach the word. That's what happens, you see, when you go against God. But friend, as we know here, he exhorted them all. He lifted up the people of God, as Barnabas and his message, with the purpose of heart that they would ultimately, friend, and with his message, that they would cleave, unto the Lord. And that was his message. His message to cleave to Christ was the only message he had. It was the only message in which they had to build the first church in Antioch. He didn't preach about man's opinion, nor the religion gimmicks that were going around at his time, but he preached Christ with all his fullness of heart. This man was a Christ-centered preacher. He knew his task. It was to edify the body of Christ and to lead sinners unto the Lord. And friend, it's the same message in which we preach today. It's the same message which Barnabas preached. It's the same message which the Apostle Paul preached. It's the message that Christ has come to save sinners. And here we know it was to edify the body of Christ and to lead sinners unto the Lord. And in Acts chapter 11, verse 26, he taught in Antioch a large crowd, and many were converted. Many were converted, and he didn't just leave there afterward, after there was converts, but he edified them. He stayed, and he built them up in their faith. And here his message effectively with great power. Cleave. Cleave to the Lord as he preached, and that's what was building the church. That was the foundation. No, there was no other foundation except the preaching of the gospel of God. And friend, that was his message. And I believe, friend, if you're not saved here this morning, that's the message that Barnabas would want you to hear, is to cleave to Christ. And friend, I believe that's the message, as we know from Genesis to Revelation. It's that if you are a guilty sinner here this morning, well, there is hope in the message. It is the good news message that Christ has come, and that we are able to cleave to him. He preached. That's what was building the church. The very first church was built upon nothing less except the preaching of Christ and him crucified. We see also that his message was attacked in Acts chapter 15. In Acts chapter 15, verse 1, look at the attacks. It wasn't always the sunshine and rainbows for Barnabas. But look what happens, you see, when they were attacked in Acts chapter 15, verse 1. And certain men, I'll just read it to you here. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. And you see, friend, here is the first false teaching. We see an attack on the message, an attack on the Bible. But friend, these men were very quick to confront the heresy of their time. And friend, if we can learn anything from these men, is that they confronted the error of their time. And here we can see here, when the men came down from Judea teaching that except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. Barnabas fought for Christ. Barnabas, he fought for God. The Apostle Paul fought for God. Peter fought for God. You see here, friend, we must be a people that truly fight for God, that when the enemy truly does come in, that we will be quick to act and to preach against the heresy of the time. So must we also contend for the faith. This New Testament evangelist shows us great evidence upon preaching Christ to the lost. He didn't stop when being confronted by the Jews. He didn't stop when the persecution came. He didn't stop when the enemies came in, but he clung to the message. And friend, I tell you this morning that you would cleave to this message, cleave to the message of Christ, and cleave to him as he will build up your faith during trying times. And friend, we know that God will truly and always give the victory in his name. And nor when the persecution came, but they continue to trust in the Lord and expected to see souls saved. And friend, they expected the Lord to work, and so must we also expect God to work in our services. And though sometimes it might be a long time without a convert, but we must expect that through the Lord and his word, we'll continue to add unto the church. And you see, Barnabas and Paul, they preached the gospel as glad tidings, as this good news to men here. It was called the gospel of the grace of God, because the whole system originated in the free and unmerited favor of God. And they added nothing to it. Friend, they preached it as it was. They didn't add unto the word. They never took away from it, but they preached it as it was. And that's what we know, not like the corrupted churches of today with the false teachers continually adding to the word, as we see, and taking away. But you see, friend, the true word, it stands word for word, as we see. And as God puts a curse on anyone to do such a thing, to touch his word and to convolute his word, well, God puts a curse on them, as he reads in Revelation chapter 22, verse 19, as it says, and if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. And his message and his ministry proclaim the Christ to the hearers, as we know that Barnabas' message, Christ is King, Christ to the hearers, Redeemer and Almighty Savior. And this is what the early church preached and contended for. And this is the message of Barnabas, who they surnamed the Son of Consolation. And so, friend, as we conclude here this morning, I want to share with you to answer the question, in my introduction, to answer the question, how did we get to where we are today in the church? Well, as I mentioned to you, well, the church, it started in the New Testament church here in Antioch. This is where it all started. And well, the answer is very simple. The answer is very simple. Well, it was through the preaching of Christ and him crucified. And that's how we got here today. And as we go back in time to see the life of Barnabas, this gem of the Bible who was working behind the scenes, well, we can truly say that he did the work of an evangelist. And there are many things we can learn from this character in God's word. Well, his message, we can learn that his message was to cleave unto the Lord. Barnabas preached Christ. He never changed his message. He built upon it and trusted his message. And then, therefore, God used this man. And see, so today, and God so is today, working in the hearts of individuals, continuing to calling men full of the Holy Ghost to preach his word, men and women to minister to others, that they could truly be a testament of the Lord's working in their life. And he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And how can you build a church without being full of the Holy Ghost? And friend, many modern day churches have trusted in their own arm of flesh, empire building for profit. They've gone after other ways. But I tell you this, the outcome of this character being filled with the Holy Ghost and with faith, it led many people to be getting saved. It was a successful ministry. It was a successful ministry and fear, and much people was added unto the Lord, as the scriptures say. So let us remember, it is truly the Lord who ultimately builds his church. It is ultimately the Lord who builds his church. And although he uses weak men and vessels from time to time, remember the words of our Lord, as I want to end with the great call of Christ when he proclaimed to build his church. Let us end with that great verse when Christ said that I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And friend, I want to ask the Lord that he will bless this word to your heart, as we can learn great things from Barnabas and his message and from the first church in Antioch, and that it wasn't different from us, as we still preach Christ with all our fullness of heart. So may we pray that the Lord will continue to fill us with his Spirit, and that he would continue to advance his church even in our time. And at this point of the